Blog Talk Radio.
This is Paul in very chilly Tampa, Florida. We've got a cold front moving through, but it looks like we've got a warm live Eagles team to talk about tonight. We're going to have an abbreviated show tonight because of some holiday season events that are going to be going on around us. We are gracious in our time. We can say what we want to say in a very short period of time. We don't have to drag some of the YouTubers or some of the other people out there that don't have enough material to fill their show, so they throw in a lot of fluff and a lot of non-essentials. We focus on the facts. If I can say it in 10 minutes, I don't need 20. So let's get right to it. If you've got today, call 657-383-1614. I'll repeat, 657-383-1614. You might have something on your mind. You might have picked up something that nobody else has picked up or seen. So give us a call. Share. It'll be a lot of fun. But you should be feeling pretty good about the Eagles that you saw last week. Not necessarily in the first half, but certainly the second half. A lot of good came out of that game. Stuff that we can build on. Stuff that we can admit to. We don't have to worry about hiding it anymore. And other things that will help this team develop, grow, and come together. Yep, I'm talking about a couple of breaths of fresh air from different directions for this Eagles team. First of all, I just want to say that the Eagles in the second half, where you been? Where have you guys been? This is the first time in a long time that I've seen these guys come out looking mean and hungry, like they wanted to win the game, like they had heart, like they had passion, like they wanted to play their game of football and take it to the Giants. As far down as they were, 19-3, they still went ahead, covered the gap, and won the game. Way to go, guys. Standing O from Tampa. Proud of you. I'll tell you what else I'm proud of. I'm proud of our defensive backs. For the first time, these guys looked like they were starting to form a unit. They were starting to gel. You know, a lot of people like to say, oh, the Eagles are building an identity. The team is getting an identity. Oh, that's so 2018. You know what? In the old days, we used to call it the team gelled. They're coming together as a unit. They're starting to become a formidable force working together. Every man has an oar and he's rowing in the same direction. It's called teamwork. It was big in the military, still is. So we're seeing that with our Eagles team. But I'll tell you what. Our Eagles team, the secondary, is starting to look like these guys belong on the field and have played together. Now, I'm not suggesting that they're going to have phenomenal years and be a shutdown defense. But they're starting to look like a defense. I'm happy with that. I'm very happy with that. Given what I've seen the first half of the season, come on. You know it. I'll tell you what else I saw that I like very much. The running game. Pass, 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 pass. That's what I used to say about Andy Reid. Pass, pass, kiss my ass, Andy Reid. Right? Andy Reid would pass on everything. 2 yards, third and two, Andy would pass. Drop the ball, we'd have to punt. I mean, that was Andy. Andy was a 35-mile-an-hour guy in a 75-mile-an-hour now. 75-mile-hour job. Is he that way now? I don't know. Once he left Philadelphia, sayonara. Andy, we got our guys now. So I focus on who is here. The running game came out. Josh Adams. I knew he was going to be good. He's a 6'2" running back. 230 pounds. The guy's a load. We may not get a lot of seasons out of him because his body may self-destruct. But the guy can take a brutal pounding. He'll get you the short yardage. He's fast, and he's got a long stride. If you get him the ball, he'll get you a quick 2, 3, 4 yards every time. Duh. What was so hard to figure out about that? He started churning up yards. Maybe he was inspired by Barkley. Maybe Barkley, who had a phenomenal game, in case you missed the game. I mean, this guy looked like Brian Mitchell on the old Washington Redskins chewing up the Eagles and having them for lunch. Barkley was a serious running threat. I think he had well over 100 yards, or if not, then about 100. I'm sure he had 100, but by halftime, he was doing pretty good. In the second half, he only carried 3 times. Yeah. Yep. That's our Eagles. They woke up. So the running game came out, and Clement, wow. Mr. Clement, if you're listening, wow. I don't especially get starstruck around football players. I don't especially lose my cool around football players. To me, I shrug. They're just bigger guys. And frankly, a lot of them, only half of them are about as smart. But the bottom line is that, Mr. Clement, wow, you were playing football. You were playing football the way we used to play football in Philadelphia, when we used to play on the frozen soil at Hunting Park over there in Nicetown. I'll tell you what, Mr. Clement, I'm looking forward to seeing you run again. So 33-30, the new Thunder and Lightning. Forget the labels. I really don't care about the labels. These guys are pretty good. Smallwood was scarce. We could probably say goodbye to Mr. Sproles. As much as I don't want to say that, I think that's the reality. I think that he's gone. And Ajayi is anybody's guess. It's a toss-up. We'll have to wait and see what the doctors say in the offseason. But I wish Ajayi a lot of luck on his recovery. I hope that he recovers fully, completely, and is in better shape than ever after all that. I'd love to have him back running hard, because this guy runs mean. Ajayi is just, I mean, they PO'd about something all the time, and I like that in a football player. So, why do I talk about those things first? Well, those were the high spots of the Eagles. I mean, if you have to have a good and a bad, that's certainly the good. And what I saw were the Eagles getting it done, like they should have been doing since the first week. Now, something else came out after the game. It may go away, or it may continue to blossom into a bigger story, but it's the players that went up to the coaches and said, stop. The run is working. Let's run the ball. And that's why we kept running the ball. Remember when Andy Reid used to have success running the ball, and then he'd pull the player because he didn't want to wear him out, or he had some stupid, fictitious reason for not wanting to continue to do what was working? That was Andy Reid. Well, I started thinking that Doug Peterson was going to revert back to Andy Light, which was my biggest concern when he first came. And after his first season, I had very little hope that he was going to develop into anything other than a successful coach. But he did. And you do what a grown man does. You stand up and say, you know what? I got it wrong. I made a mistake. I goofed. I'm sorry. And you walk, you know, you move on. But really, maybe Doug won despite Doug and the way Doug thinks. Because if the players have to tell Doug Peterson what to do or what's working, then, hey, Doug, maybe you need a better offensive coordinator, or maybe you need new glasses, because I'm not comfortable with this. And I don't know what members of the media are going to continue to dwell on this and maybe look for more information. I'm not so sure it's going to be especially helpful or constructive. I think Doug Peterson is caught with I think he's caught in the ringer on this one about the players telling him how to play the game. But if you take a look at some of his press conferences from Monday and today, Tuesday, Doug was very upfront about yeah, the players said, let's run, let's get Adams, let's get Clement, and it worked. Also, I mention it again because, well, the defensive players went up to our defensive coordinator, Jim Schwartz, and said, hey, simplify it. It's too damn complicated. We got a lot of new guys out here. They're not getting it. They're missing their cues. They're trying to remember it and play the game and not get embarrassed on TV. And they're making a lot of mistakes. So let's dial it down. Let's roll it back to an easier play calling schema. And that worked. And I think Malcolm Jenkins led the charge on that. I know a lot of you guys are going to point out the fact that Jenkins intercepted that pass, and that seemed to have flipped the game around at that point. Yeah, momentum changes, and that certainly does happen. But the Eagles flipped and never got soft again after that. And there has to be a reason for that sustained consistency instead of, you know, going another series or two and then going back into the trough as where you came out of. Something else happened, and it was the players pressing Jim Schwartz to do a better job of coaching. And that's exactly what it was. The players forced the coaches to do a better job. That's powerful. I mean, the fact that our coaches are on YouTube with clips, and they've admitted that, and they've said that it was the players that told us to do this, is a very powerful, classy statement from our coaches. I mean, you know, they got their hat in their hand and they're saying, yeah, look, these guys saw it. They told us we did it. I'm delighted that the coaches are that flexible and that mature enough to not be threatened and put it out there that, yeah, look, we're all on the same team. We all want the same result. They said, let's do this. We tried it. It worked. Okay? But in my mind, the coaches are supposed to know all this stuff before the game even starts. I wonder if Jim Schwartz has ever taken apart the Eagles' offense as a defensive coordinator and said, I'm going to play the Philadelphia Eagles. How can I beat them? And then when he's done with all that film and exercise, he goes over to the offensive coordinator and says, if I was playing you, here's how I'd beat you. Here's where you're weak. Here's where you're soft. Here's where you got to tighten up. I wonder if he ever did that. And vice versa. I wonder if Mike Groh, who isn't really an OC yet, he's still a wide receivers coach, he's in over his head still at this point, so it appears. I wonder if he has ever broken film down and said, I've got to play the Philadelphia Eagles defense. How can I beat them? Well, we'll find out what's going to happen this coming Monday night when we play the Washington Redskins. I predict that the Redskins are going to turn back into the Redskins and just do what the Redskins always do, start to slide downhill and out of the picture. They lost a really good guy in Alex Smith, and his leg just doesn't look good. And I feel bad for Alex Smith. I don't want to see any player get that kind of injury because it's not only career-ending, but it's also life-changing. The guy might have to rely on a cane or a crutch or some other way to get around. And for what? For a game? It's supposed to be entertainment. I think the NFL has to start to say, guys, you're too big to play football. I'm going to open up this, pop this can of worms, and I'm going to say, guys, you're 330 pounds. You're too big to play the game of football. And I think if you want to keep your franchise quarterbacks healthy and you want to keep your wide receivers from getting crushed in the pile and other things, I think you just got to take the load off a bit. Can a 230-pound athlete stop somebody the same way a 330-pound athlete can? Yeah. Yeah. In space, in a shorter distance, I think the hit, the net effect is the same. And when I say the hit, I'm also talking about the tackling. Our Eagles are still the sissiest team in the NFC East with the way they throw arms. It's afraid they're afraid to get a flag. Did you see the Giants take it to the Eagles? go back and take a look at the film clips on YouTube or some other place where you have the game or have access to the game, and pay particular attention to the Giants getting the Eagles in their hands and arms, wrapping them up and dropping them on the ground. They do it. And take a look at the Eagles. Now, Zach Ertz broke out of one tackle for an extra 5 yards. Okay, that might have been the exception as opposed to what typically was going on during the game. But the Eagles still throwing arms, still throwing arms. And frankly, that's getting old too. If this secondary's coach that we have, this defensive backs coach, doesn't start getting on the guys to tackle, right? If he doesn't start doing it, it's going to be the poorest Philadelphia Eagles. I remember when we used to own the middle, when we had guys who really hit you and hurt you, like Andre Waters and Brian Dawkins and Michael Zordich and Terry Hogue. And, of course, the all-time great Wes Hopkins, who would just turn your bones back to atoms. I mean, he was pulverizing. Guys did not want to get hit by number 48. So we had some tough guys back there. How about Trotter? We own the middle. Now we don't. Who do we have that'll throw a licking on you? Nobody. Catch it anywhere on the Eagles, you're good for five more. So when I see the players going up to the coaches and saying, hey, keep running, or hey, simplify the game, for big picture things like that, I don't expect the coaches to do much with tackling or the way they set the formations out there. It's just, that's what they do, and I'm just a guy watching, thinking, and coming out here to put it out in the open air for us. Am I right? I don't know. I could be. I often am. Am I wrong? Could be. I often am. But the whole purpose of this is to think, which is why I want you to pick up the phone and call 657-383-1614 and tell me what you think. If you agree, fine. If you disagree, fine. Doesn't matter. I do know that I'm getting more and more and more of you listening every week. So I suppose we're doing something right. And maybe they're all one time and only one time listeners. Or maybe we've got some people coming back for more. Don't know. Sometimes some of the best stuff comes from the people you don't know or never heard of, right? Hence the success of YouTube. So the podcast is interesting, and I do this only because it's fun. Number one, if it wasn't, why spend the time? But number two, it's something to think about. I've got a lot of years of experience watching football as an Eagles fan. And you rarely hear me talk about the other teams or the other players because I don't care. What did you say? I said, I don't care. I don't care about the other teams. I can't tell you who the opposing coaches are. I can't tell you who the quarterbacks are. I can't tell you who their top star is on their team. Why? It doesn't matter to me. It's too much to keep in my head. I got enough to do with the Philadelphia Eagles and the rest of my life. So this is supposed to be entertainment. It's supposed to be fun. When it starts to become work, I drop it. Don't want to do something else. That's why I gave up golf. I used to be a really good golfer as a kid, frankly. When I was in my teens, I could drive really well. I had a great chip, great irons game to the green. And maybe I took an extra putt or two, but for the most part, that was the weakest part of my game. And I know that's where the money is and all that. But I had fun. I enjoyed it. I used to try to get out as much as I possibly could. And as time went on, life happened, and you turn around one day after the kids are grown a little bit, you say, hey, let me pick these up and see if I can go out there and still do it. But by then, my God, your bad habits are so entrenched. So it was rough. It was a little bit of pressure getting back to it. And years ago, I picked up my bag with all my clubs and a few hundred balls, and I gave it to my son, and I said, here, take it. It's yours. You see, you don't want it? No. I relax more putting about 5 or 6 rounds down range, you know, sighting in the target and just seeing if I'm good enough to be able to put that round exactly where I want it on that paper. To me, it's a little bit more fun and relaxing, but we're all made of different stuff, and we all like different things, and that's the way my stuff rolls. So the Eagles have their own version on how they want to play their game of football, and I really have to keep taking another hard look at the coaches. The coaches are, that's the way we're going to go for the rest of the year. Now, are they going to revert back to being the Super Bowl winning coaches that know everything and do it their way and not have so good a season and hold us back with their brilliance or because of their brilliance? Or are they going to be guys that are going to say, look, let's get to work. You know, there's some stuff here we're missing and not seeing because it's right under our nose, and maybe we need to step back and do this and do that. I'm disappointed that they didn't do it during the bye week. They had 2 weeks to break down a lot of stuff, have a lot of conversations, and get into a lot of things, but nope, nothing changed. They came back from the bye, and they got their clock cleaned, man. They were just manhandled embarrassingly bad. So here we are. So suffice it to say that the Eagles won a game they had to win. Because I'll tell you what, we were 4-5. Or 4-6 rather. Now we're 5-6. If we went 4-7, you know what? Guys were going to lose their jobs. I'm not just talking about players. I'm talking about coaches. You know, if you're the owner, you say, what do I do? Do I? Obviously, Peterson just won a Super Bowl, so he's got another year at least. Good grace. I've got some help for him with Howie Roseman and Joe Douglas to find the people and the talent that he needs to be able to rebuild and come back, plug some holes and regain some lost ground. Maybe we're not going to go very far, but we're going to be on the road and we're going to start becoming the team that we should have been this year. But other coaches with glaring weaknesses. Maybe there's a way for us to improve, elevate the coaching ranks with one or two acquisitions. And you want to leave that to your head coach to do because they're his guys. Especially if you're an owner and you're not a football guy, you really don't get it the way the guys do who play the game. I know all those arguments, but the reality is when you're the owner and you can spot all of this, chances are pretty good that the only way it's going to get done is if you do it. Because head coaches are loyal to their assistant coaches and vice versa because, you know, it's a long career and they get fired from jobs and they got to go back on to teams and you never know who's going to give you that recommendation that'll get you your next job. So they always want to keep those doors open and moving, you know, keep swinging them open as, if they can. So they're not going to really throw anybody out on the street. But you're the owner. You've got a responsibility to the fans. You've got a responsibility to your business. And you've got to keep winning. That's why the Flyers fired Holmgren. So, because the Flyers think they know more than what Holmgren was going to do, and they didn't want to take Holmgren's longer road approach to get to the playoffs. Although Holmgren was doing it right, they decided to give up on him and tear the team apart. We have one of the best young farm systems, I guess, if you want to put it that way, in hockey. We're one of the top three, and we've got some very exciting players coming up, and now we're going to probably strip all that out, give all that away, and let those players go somewhere else after we brought them up, brought them along, and developed them a little bit, and, you know, we're going to have to start all over because that's going to blow up, too. This let's do a quickly type of thing. I don't know. Can it be done in sports anymore? Yeah, I think everybody's too impatient. The hell are you in such a hurry for? It'll still be there. But the Eagles have to maintain they have to build on what happened last Sunday. They have to maintain and sustain their passion, their energy, their tempo. The way they're playing the game. I hope that the coaches will keep that happening. Not sure that it will, but we'll find out. We'll know a little bit more. Again, I invite your call, 657-383-1614. And if you were advertising on our show and being a sponsor, this might be the time for one of your spots. It's almost at the half hour mark. We're doing a 45-minute show tonight, but certainly I would have had an opening sponsor spot as well as a closing, the one in the middle, and this might be the one in the middle. Instead, I'm going to tell you a little bit about Tampa Delphia. We're at the Crown Plaza on Kennedy. It's a big hotel sandwiched between the Howard Franklin Bridge and West Shore Mall. And we've got a little bit of a challenge going on. We would comfortably be able to seat 300 people, comfortably. We can't now, not in one room. We're undergoing renovations, which is a corporate plan, and it's not the plan of the current management. It's the plan of the management slash owners slash holding company that own the property, and they're sitting in a different city far, far away. They have renovation plans. All properties do this. Every 10 years, they'll go ahead and they'll do upgrades, maintenance improvements, build outs, whatever they have to do to refresh the property for the purposes of either improving its value in the portfolio or improving its value for sale. But they spend money to make money. And the only way they're going to make money is if they get more customers. So they want to reconfigure the floor plan and the layout, and that's what they're doing with us. We lost Mojitos, which was the Latin nightclub attached to Mojitos, the lounge. That held an awful lot of people. And that's currently sealed off, and it's going to be the new front entrance and lobby to the property. And they're going to come through, and they're going into our lounge. And we will be ushered into the restaurant. We're currently in the restaurant for overflow, and we also have some couches and TVs outside. The fountains are turned off, and so people can hear the show, but there's no glare, and it's comfortable out there. There's couches and seating, and, you know, we can hold probably 20 to 40 people out there, and some big TVs, and, you know, it's nice. It's relaxing. You can eat, drink, smoke a cigar, and it's part of the ambiance. It's a good property. They have a lot of niches and a lot of places where we can go to spend some quality time. But in all likelihood, we're probably going to end up back in the ballrooms where we were for Super Bowl last year. And the Crown Plaza still offers us a good game day with our food and drink specials. They also offer us a pretty good game day with, they bend over backwards for us. They do try to do everything they can for us. They won't like me saying so, but they pulled a pretty stupid move where they added a tip onto people's bill. And frankly, a lot of people just come along and say, wait a minute, what's this? But as a consumer, you don't have to pay it. I think a lot of folks didn't realize that. They didn't like it happening to them, but they didn't realize that they weren't stuck with it. So when I told the hotel about it, they promptly got rid of it. Believe me, they knocked it off like ASAP right away. It's not there. If you come back to the hotel, you will not see that line item on your tab. We still have a pretty healthy crowd. We were in two out of our three spots this past Sunday. So we had a good sized crowd, and it's going to continue to grow. There's still a nice future there for us. We'll see how it goes with the plans and renovations. Management keeps me in a loop with where they're at in the process and what's ahead. So if you are in the mood to watch an Eagles game with a lot of diehard fans, and I do mean diehard, because believe me, the only people coming out to watch Eagles games now are the people that are there for the 15-cent beers. And we don't offer them, so they must be coming out to watch the team, or they're coming out to see their pals in the room. So if you're interested in making new friends, join us. Age doesn't matter. We've got them all. And we've got families. We've got mom, dad, sis. We've got guys by themselves. We've got sometimes ladies by themselves. We've just got Eagles fans, and they're all about the team. They're from Delaware, Jersey, Pensy, Philly, and also from some other states. They're visitors from up north. They're seeing family at the University of Tampa or someplace else in the area, and they're stopping in to watch the game with us. We're having a good time. We're meeting new people. We're making new friends, and I invite you to join us this coming Monday night. And if Monday night's not your thing because it's too late, I get that. So join us for the next 1 o'clock game, which is coming up, and you'll be able to sit down, roll up your sleeves, have a beer or two, a beverage of your choice anyway, with Gang of Tampa Delphia. See if it's got the style, the feel, the ambiance for you. We're not over the top with a lot of noise in the room. We want you to hear the game. So there's no mock, announcements to try and keep you stirred up and motivated. Which are done for egotistical reasons, actually, but we don't do that. We figure you're old enough to know that the game is a lot more important than anything anybody has to say during those 3 hours, right? So, Tampa Delphia, Crown Plaza, Kennedy, and our number for the call-in show, 657-383-1614. You will be part of a show that goes out and broadcasts around the United States and internationally. Yes. 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 I'm not putting much shoulder toward marketing the show at this point. Because I still think we have room to grow. I haven't brought in any guests yet. I've got 3 or 4 waiting. They're waiting to be asked so they can be brought in. And they'll be here to join us and talk about things, give us some different insights, because I know you're going to be getting tired of hearing me. I think I've said almost everything I've got to say, so I'm going to start bringing some folks in. But I invite you to call, because this whole show was designed and thought of and conceived about you talking Eagles. I mean, we talk about Eagles every game. If you've got something to say because of some new information that comes out or anything like that, please give us a call and let us know. Again, 657-383-1614. Frankie in Alabama, if you're hearing me. Mark, if you're over in Pinellas County and you're hearing me, come on. Other guys, you know who you are. You make a lot of good points when we talk. So share a few here. So what else about the Eagles that is going to be interesting? Well, I think some of the changes we're seeing on the defensive line helped our game a little bit. And also our linebackers between Long and Bradham. We seem to have had a little bit more success, maybe against certain plays by the Giants. But it's no fluke that Barkley had all that yardage and all those carries in the first half and went dry in the second half. It's no fluke that Odell Beckham, I couldn't believe that he didn't get a flag on a play, that an Eagle made a good defensive play. This no-name Eagles guy slapped the ball away. I couldn't get to it, and I should have had something out of that. So, ref, where's my flag? Well, guess what? He outplayed you on that. So, nice to see that. But we know that everything starts up front, right? I do know that, once again, the Eagles absolutely miss Derek Barnett. Mr. Barnett, if you're hearing me, or if these words reach you at some point, hurry the hell home, will you, man? Come on, we need you. I'm one of your biggest fans, and I think you're going to be a 10-year stud in this league, and I'm looking forward to getting you back. Bennett showed up couple times, which was pretty good. And Chris Long, I know he's been off the field for quite a bit, but it's good to see him back in the game and ripping heads off. I'm delighted that we still have 58 out there, and that's Mr. Hicks at middle. I like to see Mr. Hicks, who plays, he calls our defensive signals. He's a very bright guy. But I would like him to be more like a Bill Berge if we could do that. And if many of you do not know or remember Bill Berge, He was a nasty son of a bitch out there in the middle. But that's what he did, and he did it well. And Mr. Berge is within sound of my voice. And Mr. Berge may be tuning in. So if that's the case, maybe we can get you on the show one night, Mr. Berge, and you can tell us the difference between your Eagles and our Eagles. That said, I think that we can afford to do some tinkering on the line. We've got just so many guys hurt. What do you do? What do you do when you don't have the talent, when you don't have the players, when you don't have the guys that can keep up the pace, keep up the pressure, play at the same level as the guys that they're playing against? What do? You don't cheat. You don't chop block. You don't throw yourself at their knees. But you got to play. You've got talent. You got skill. You got size. You got speed. You got something. Maybe you got 2 out of 4. Maybe you got 3 out of 4. And you're not properly coached. Maybe you're playing out of position. Maybe you should be one slot down. You know, one position over instead of where you're at. I don't know. That's all coaching. It's complex. Coaching's complex because there's so many mechanics and skills that are needed at different places. So now's the time to evaluate that. And let's hope that Howie Roseman and Joe Douglas are taking a really good hard look at the free agents that'll be coming out so that we can get ahead of that early. And also the draft picks. We've got some good picks at some good places. So we can possibly get between free agents and draft maybe 3 or 4 impact players that'll start immediately. They'll be that good. As opposed to the 1 or 2. So maybe we can get 3 or 4. And we can do a little bit better next year than we have this year. I hope that Doug Peterson takes his job a little bit more seriously. I'm not saying he's got a lack of commitment or he's doing a bad job. But I think that maybe he needs to change his approach. Like get out, get some fresh air, take a walk around the block, shake things up a little bit. Stop being such a gadget guy. Do the basics well. That's what Lombardi do. That's what he always said. I will do the same thing 50 times and challenge you and dare you to stop me. I'll be so good at it, you can't stop me. That's what Dallas does. They've got the same play all the time with Armani Cooper. Amari Cooper? Yeah, I guess that's the way you say it. But it works. So why are we trying to be so gadget-oriented, so fancy with our plays? I'm not so sure we need to do that. So, Coach, if you're hearing me, if these words reach you, relax a little bit. Open up playbook to page 1 and maybe just take a good look and see what we can do to keep it fairly simple and fairly fast. Maybe we can increase the tempo of our game. I wonder why we're having such a hard time figuring out what to do with Golden Tate. God, he looks like he could be a real powerful addition to the team. But you put the guy in for 3 plays a game. When he comes in, everybody in the world, everybody in the stadium knows that he's going to get the ball. So they snuff him out and the guy walks off the field -5 yards. How is that helping him? How's it helping you? If the offensive coordinator, Mike Groh, can't figure out what to do with a talent like Golden Tate, you should have never got him. Maybe you need to keep Tate and ditch Groh. We're sending back to the wide receivers coach. These are simple things, man, to see. Maybe not too simple to fix, but they got to be discussed. And I'm not saying that we want to throw Groh under the bus, but you know what? If he can't figure out what to do with Golden Tate and Nelson Agholor, now maybe there's a bigger picture here. Maybe Agholor is going to be coming off his contract, and maybe Agholor is not going to be around next year because he's going to ask for huge money. And maybe in anticipation of that, maybe the Eagles got Golden Tate and they're going to just step him right in after Agholor is cast off. I don't know this. only a few people would. But as Eagles fans, it should be a little bit clearer and easier on us when Golden Tate comes in that we actually do something with him. We'd love to see his talent blossom. I'd love to see this guy do what he can do in an Eagles uniform. You know, we had another guy like that once before, and his name was Terrell Owens. And I'm not so sure that Andy ever really let Terrell Owens do what Terrell Owens can do, because he was trying to harness the personality as opposed to the on-the-field talent. Anyway, that's it for my Eagles analysis and review. There's some good writers out there, some good sports writers that I follow. You know, usually this type of show is just one guy copying another guy's stuff or parroting what he saw or heard somewhere else, and, you know, as opposed to doing his own thinking. I will obviously miss a lot. I will not be as good as Didinger or some of the other guys that are out there breaking the Eagles apart, but it's because I'm not copying them. I'm not trying to spew what they spew on ESPN or the NFL Network or any place else. I'm just going for the biggest, most obvious things that we as fans will see that make us want to keep coming out to the game for entertainment, you know, in cold, crappy weather, to spend our time and money with these guys as opposed to staying home and doing something else with our families. So there's got to be something in it for us other than the fact that I bleed green, man. Yeah, well, I'm loyal too. I will tell you this. When my time on this earth is done and I'm on my way down into hell, I'll be wearing an Eagles jersey in hell. And that is a fact. But the bottom line is that I do it within perspective. It's entertainment. It's not going to take over my whole life. If they lose, I feel bad for a day or two, but not six of them. So I've grown up. I've moved. I've learned what's valuable, what's important on this planet. It takes a while to get there and do that. But football's in the top 10. It's fun, but it's not number 1A. So we have just 2.5 minutes left in the show. If you're going to call in to make a point, if there's something I forgot, I'd really like to hear that. If you think I'm wrong on some stuff, call me out on it. That's okay. And the whole point of the show is to make us think, make us learn more about the game. I wanted to get into some of the formations, some of the differences between the way we played in the first half and the second half, especially on offense. But the big difference really was the running game. You see, the Giants beat us statistically on all areas of offense except time of possession. And that's because the Eagles ran the ball, ran it pretty well. So that was the key to the game on offense. And, you know, I just summed up that whole area in one sentence. It was time of possessions. That was the difference in the second half. So with that, this is where I would have my closing sponsor segment. And again, I encourage you to come on out and join us at Tampa Delphia. You can catch me at any time during the game and just say, hey, what do you think of this? What about that? I heard the show, and here's what I think about that. It's all good. And we'll do our best to hook you up with folks from your area of Jersey, Delaware, Pennsylvania, or city of Fluffia. So with that, I'm winding down. I'm going to call it a week for tonight, and maybe we'll have a much more enthusiastic and great game next Monday night. So with that, join us at Tampa Delphia. Take care. God bless. Stay well. Stay warm, Tampa. It's cold out there, and it's going to get cold tonight into the 40s. So bundle up. And we'll see you in a week. Adios.